Dylan McCullough on cello, guitarist Dan Tremblay on triangle, and Free on alto get pupils here at Gassicourt Secondary School up and dancing to a traditional Cajun two-step from Louisiana.
That's a piece by Bebe Carrier called Blue Runner, and it's a really fun two-step, and I think that that tune is the basis for a lot of Cajun fiddle tunes. That you hear that in so many Cajun tunes, and so for me it's a very influential song, but it's also such a fun song. We play that song to all different audiences, and it's very liberating, you know, in a show where we address a lot of, you know, social and political and racial and, you know, potentially divisive issues or scary issues to talk about. It's definitely a moment of liberation for everybody emotionally.
The music was a group affair, but when it came to autographs at the end, McCullough got the lion's share of requests. So the kids here are queuing up to get you to sign autographs. Is this a new experience, or it happens often?
Oh, this is definitely new. I didn't know if they were liking it, honestly. But I see a lot of myself, my sixth grade self, in this group. It's very cute.
What do you mean by that?
Just the self-consciousness and inquisitiveness that is really vulnerable and sweet. Yeah.
Now this boy is asking you to sign on his hand.
Where is your mama?
Where is your mom, she says.
Okay.
These kids are 12, 13, 14 years old. What were you doing when you were their age?
Oh my God, I was doing a lot of what they were doing.
But you were already playing music.
I was already playing music, yeah. I was pretty serious about music around then. La ti bonito, yo voy a parler, moi yo dim sur les malades. Sur les malades, les coucher, la ti bonito. Yo voyais parler, moi yo dim sur les malades. I was in youth orchestra, and I was learning about chamber music and just starting to play in some of my first ensembles. So, yeah, quite a formative time for me, for developing my love for music, definitely. Ça fait la peine pour m'enterrer soleil. C'est regrettant ça pour m'enterrer soleil.
Leila McCullough, you're already an accomplished musician, you've brought out your second album, but you still think it's important to come and do something quite humble with a group of kids as part of the Blues sur Seine festival.
Well, I think there's nothing to humble you like a group of a group of kids that aren't afraid to show exactly what they think of you. But I also, you know, I love that we get to play at festivals that are committed to community outreach and passing the torch to other kids, because that's how I got into this. And I think that's how a lot of musicians get into playing, is someone exposing them to the music and then saying, you can do this too, and then believing that they're talented and encouraging them. And so, you know, it's important.
So who was it that lit the spark in you then when you were younger?
It's been many different people over the course of my life, and it still happens, you know, certainly with my colleagues and with a lot of my friends that are musicians inspire me. But when I was, I guess, about 14, I got to study with a professor from Juilliard named Andrei Emelianov, and I think he was the first person that really challenged me and really, really believed in me. Help me legitimize my sense of myself being a musician.
Now, you're playing here as a trio. A word about the people you're playing with and what it brings you to play in a trio rather than solo.
Yeah, I think it's really important. It helps bring, certainly, the music alive to be playing with Free and Dan.
Too long. Jeffrey is an excellent viola player, very much like me, studied classical music and, you know, diverted from that genre for a number of reasons, a lot of which overlap. And so we really come from similar places and are headed in a similar direction. You know, it's been really fun to experiment with these textures and these colors and to bring out different aspects of our instruments.
The alto has the same tonality as the cello,
right.
Is that right?
Right, and sometimes it's how do we stay out of each other's way when we're all playing in the same range? A lot of people would say that's a recipe for disaster, but I think it's a recipe for a lot of creative, creative musical negotiation.
Let us get together right now. Let us get together right down here. Let us get together right down here. Let us get together, children, right down here.
Daniel is my husband, my partner in life and in music. And, you know, we started playing music after we got together as a couple. And so it's been a journey, but we're both learning a lot about playing together and what it means to play music with other people instead of just, you know, my way or the highway.
Muddy water around my feet, muddy water in the street, just God's own shelter down on the delta.
You performed a song by Bessie Smith, mm-hmm. Muddy Water, which takes us right back.
Well, Bessie Smith is such an incredible figure in blues and jazz, and I don't feel like you can talk about blues and jazz without talking about her influence and her life. I mean, it's incredible what our predecessors have gone through in order to play music. And I feel like her voice is so incredible in and of itself, but in the context of that environment of oppression and exploitation of black musicians in the South, hers is a guiding light for me.
I don't care, it's muddy there, but seems it's my home. Got my toes turned Dixie way. Round the delta, let me lay. My heart cries out for muddy water.
You moved to New Orleans in Louisiana in 2010. Mm-hmm. You're of Haitian descent. Mm-hmm. Where do you fit in now?
I've always seen myself as an African-American musician. I prefer to just, you know, be referred to as a black musician. But yeah, you know, I don't feel like I'm a Southerner. I feel like I'm from New York, and I appreciate so many things about Louisiana, and I also recognize a lot of issues there that that need changing and working on, and particularly racism and poverty and education. You know, those things really speak to me very clearly, being in New Orleans, but I am so connected to the spirit of New Orleans and being there. I've learned so much. I've learned so much about myself, about music, about people, about life, just from watching life there and being a part of the music scene there. And, you know, it's a place that I'm very attached to. I bought a house there. I'm raising a family there. And so far, that's where I'll be.
If I go away,
a day for the hunter, a day for the prey. It's a Haitian proverb, and it's a title also of a book that I read by a writer named Gage Avril, an ethnomusicologist who I have tons of respect for, I saw the book and I just grabbed it off of the shelf because that phrase was so strong. And it kept on turning in my mind, a day for the hunter, a day for the prey, and all the nuances of what that means and how it applies to the history of Haiti and power and politics in the United States, in Louisiana. It just really resonated with me, and I found a lot of meaning in it. And so I decided to write a song called A Day for the Hunter, A Day for the Prey. And then I thought, well, I don't know if I can come up with a better name than that. So that was the title of the album, and it seemed to encapsulate a lot of the things that I had learned about the culture of the United States and a lot of my personal experience in life and a lot of, I think, the experiences of many people globally.
If I am to stay, I want you to pray, not for me, for the souls who have stayed like me before.
The original inspiration for that song was in the book I had read about a genre of music that sort of emerged in the 80s and 90s from Haitian boat people fleeing Haiti to come to the United States. So I wrote the song from the perspective of someone who's getting ready for a journey and having to make those, you know, irreversible, life-changing decisions. Do I get in a boat to save my family, or do I stay here and try to save myself? Obviously, nobody wants to be in that position, but, you know, as we see with what's happening in Syria and Greece, and, you know, honestly, even beyond that, it's just, I think that we all have moments in our lives where we have these turning points, where we decide to go one way or another, and it's never easy, and it's particularly never easy when it comes to your security and your general feeling of well-being. When you don't have that as a person, it's nearly impossible to thrive. And so that song kind of also asked the question of, when is it going to be my day to be the hunter and not the prey?
Day for the hunter, day for the prey. Day for the hunter, day for the prey. Day for the hunter, day for the prey.
Since Donald Trump was named the next president of the United States, the 45th, what do you think it's going to change for someone like you, a musician? Anything?
It's hard to say, but, you know, I think that one of the things that I am really passionate about is education for children, musical education. I think it's really important. You know, arts education has been so gutted from public school system programs in the past, you know, 10, 20 years. When I was a kid, it was mandatory that all kids play an instrument. Now it's, you know, it depends on the funding, depends on the situation of each state or county or school district. And so it really saddens me to see that continue to sort of deteriorate.
Vietnam, Vietnam.
I'm very concerned with our war machine, this perpetual war that we're in all the time. The wars that we're winning, the wars that we're fighting, all in the name of democracy and freedom. And I just don't believe it. You know, that's the thing that underlies everything. You know, we can't do arts education because that doesn't fund the War and Freedom campaign. You know, I feel like that's what it comes down to. And meanwhile, you know, all illegal immigrants are going to be deported immediately. It's crazy. And the idea that someone is illegal, you know, it's one thing to be undocumented. It's another thing to be illegal. And I think that there's a lot of connotation even in the framing of that.
Wake up, wake up, little sparrow. Don't make your home out in the snow.
People in the United States, I didn't realize how threatened they were by outside influence. And by outsiders, I feel like I'm one of the outsiders. You know, my family is one of the outsiders. My family's fled Haiti during the Duvalier regime, and that's why I play the cello. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't be doing this. Like, you know, I probably wouldn't be doing this if I had stayed in Haiti, if I didn't have the American public education system supporting my education. You know, and my mom was always, like, you know, finding scholarship programs and doing stuff like that. It wasn't like we were, like, super privileged and had tons of money. You know, and even my teacher, Andrei Emelianov, I felt a little bit like, yes, I'm the charity case because he charges, you know, $100 per lesson. And I know that my family didn't pay that. You know, it was because he recognized that he wanted to support me. And if you don't have those kinds of opportunities, well, people will cut you some slack in order to let you grow. It's just harder to imagine the American dream coming true. And the American dream of just buying more stuff and having more stuff and more, you know, that doesn't get to the heart of what makes people happy. So I feel like the dream is a little bit deferred, to use a Langston Hughes term.
Thank you so much, Leila McKellar.
Thank you.
Don't make your home out in